We
were talking about MARC formats, and you were not using MARC formats.
We were not using MARC format because it was considered to be too complicated for scientific information systems. And in fact, no one of our colleagues, friends from the information side, with whom we were working, we already were working with Chemical Abstracts and the Physikalische Berichte and INSPEC and all the organizations, the Russians, etc. Each of us, we were using our own formats.
When you say you're working with those organizations, what form did that work take?
In XUEBI, we have been doing a common list of periodicals processed by in the Scientific and Technical Information Systems. We have every year a meeting of XUEBI, and we were discussing our problems about the journal, exchange of publications, etc. And it was decided to start working for kind of communication format that could be used by all the systems. It was not very successful because it was difficult, but it helped us to understand what the problem were. But the decision was really not to use MARC.
And so you devised your own format.
Then the world was really divided in two parts. The librarians that were using MARC, including our own librarians, and the scientific information centers that were using more or less their own formats, but simple formats, much simpler formats. And it was only later, in many, many years after, that it was decided to work at the reconciliation of MARC and the systems that were. We used the Unisyst. We have done a kind of Unisyst format, and we have moved to this Unisyst format when Unisyst started. It seems a little bit strange, but at that time so many, many things were going that we were running a little bit in all the directions. All these information centers, they were trying to find a way to work, to produce their publications better and cheaper. In fact, that was the goal of all of us. And we were visiting ourselves, each other, to see how we were working. There was no secret. We were showing, all the people were showing what they were doing. And I remember being in Columbus, and they were doing their coding, they tried to show to us, but it was just the beginning. It was just the beginning.
So when you began the Pascal database, you also included the Sciences Humaines.
Yes, later. We started by the biology, and then we started with Sciences Humaines. But the Sciences Humaines, Bulletin Signalétique was published only every 3 months. And then they all considered they had time, and it took more time to do the Sciences Humaines. But Louise Cadou has done it. We have automated that. This is how the Pascal database started.
Can I ask you, just before we move on to those the developments that followed, I've come across a number of sort of organizational bodies that somehow seem to have been related to you. You mentioned one, the Délégation à la Recherche Scientifique.
Délégation Générale à la Recherche Scientifique et Technique.
And then apparently in 1959 there was a little later.
59?
Apparently that was set up in 59.
The DGRSD, maybe, I don't know.
And then there was a Comité d'études de la documentation and an Association nationale pour l'étude de la documentation, somehow related to these bodies. It comes out of this article. And I wondered what these were and how important and what bearing they had on CNRS and CDST.
Oh, CF59, I don't know, I was not there at that time, but...
Well, they apparently, in 1963, there was something called...
Laneda.
This was a plan, and it sort of...
Yes, but this is this plan that Brigo was supposed to...
This is what it's...
I cannot read you.
It's a Roman 6, 5, 6, and 186 semicolon plan, and they keep referring to that in this thing. Let me turn this off.
Association nationale pour l'étude de la documentation automatisée.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this is le sixième plan is plan of governmental plan. This is was not specially for documentation of our information. It was the plan for our government.
Yes.
This was one part of this plan.
The implication was that it part of...
But it has no
impact on... Yeah.
No, it has no impact. The only result of that was the nomination of Jacques Brigo.
Ah, okay.
To try to apply this ANEDA. But in fact, very fast, he put his own ideas. Bulletin signalétique before. And then they decided to set up the Centre Documentation Sciences Humaines. It was a separate centre.
So it was split apart from CDHT?
Yes. First, the bulletin signalétique was in three parts. And then everything was reunited.
When you were interim director, that was starting to happen?
Yes, let's say that. And then they have created two centers. This was when the Centre Documentation Scientifique et Technique moved to a new place. And the Centre Documentation Sciences Humaines was moved to the new Maison des Sciences de l'Homme when it was built. Then there were two centers.
And each center was still producing the bulletin.
Each center were doing exactly the same.
Yeah. Was there a common processing center for the two?
Yes. At one time. Because then they start using the computer of Maison des Sciences de l'Homme.
So they were producing then.
Yeah, but with the same system.
Yeah.
The same computer people were doing that. There were a lot of different periods.
Yes, there was one period, I think it was 64 that I came across, where the bulletin signalétique seemed to be split into any number of different sections.
Yes.
And then later on they were...
This was at the request of researchers. They did want to have a big bulletin signalétique to read.
Mm.
And with automation it was easier to do that. But in fact, it has created a lot of problems for the automation because of duplication. Because physics and biophysics, in physics you cannot take over biophysics, but in biology you need biophysics. But
so
a number of abstracts were put in several places. This was another indexing added in what bulletin signalétique it's going to go. Propose d'une informe technique destinée à proliférer les publications scientifiques, dénonce la concurrence.
So there's this attempt at that level to begin to think about countering the influence of English and American. Does that come to anything?
No, I remember this, but this was like one of the studies that didn't lead anywhere. I am negative, but you know, all these things, they were created, they talked a lot, and then...
Yeah.
I even didn't remember. Yes, now that I see that, I remember, but it has no... Look, we have been working, and some people in a corner, they were been talking, and we didn't pay very much attention. Because when you read that, you don't say that. It's stupid. Contrer la prolifération envahissante des publications scientifiques d'origine étrangère. You don't want them, you don't buy them. You cannot stop publishing. It's so stupid even to say that.
Yeah. And of course, in your case, your scientists and others would want access to that material. That's one of the functions of the book.
This is one of the reasons why Pascal database was built and didn't stop doing chemistry, because most of the publications were coming from the States. And we could have said, okay, we take chemical abstracts and we don't do it, because we were afraid that chemical abstracts, as they have been warning already, one day they will stop giving to Europe and to Japan the information in chemistry. And we say we have to continue. Imagine that is going to happen. This is how was created the Centre de Bulletin Signalétique in 1939, because we had no more information coming from abroad because of the war. Yeah. And I think this is talks.
Why was
my own opinion.
Sure. Why would Chemabs stop? They were actually giving the information, not selling it.
No, they were selling it.
Selling it, yes. Yeah. So why did they stop?
I don't know. At one time, there was strange idea in America, and sometimes they continued, because I can tell you once a conversation I had with Al Gore on that, but that was much later. It was a competition in research in chemistry. And they were afraid that the European and the Japanese, they will use the American databases to compete with the research on chemistry done. If you give all the information to the French researchers, they can do as well as you can do. And that was the American Chemical Society. They said, no, we don't want any more our information to be distributed. There were rumors like that. And particularly when Chemical Abstract started distributing the tapes. Of course, they always were selling, and the problem was not to buy, because it's much more expensive to do it yourself than to buy.
So in developing Pascal database in the area of chemistry, did you do all the indexing again yourselves, or were you able to?
No, we were doing everything again ourselves. This is how I started negotiating with, for example, the American Physical Society, and with the engineering index, etc., so that they could provide us information over the index. We were prepared to buy.
Did that work
but
out?
But that was... it worked with physics. With it's only a problem of people. Engineering index, they were working too slowly, and at that time, before... that was the time of John Krebs. And then now everything has changed, but it was very difficult, because we had to translate, because the French researchers at that time, they want to have the information in French.
That actually brings up the question of the audience for the Bulletin Signalétique at that time, because it seems to me it's changed very considerably.
No, the goal was always the same. The researchers, yeah, CNRS and university, about 100,000 people, in fact. That was a target. And we had no problem of money. This was our goal, and we were not even... they asked us to recover some of the money, at least to cover the printing of Bulletin Signalétique. We recovered selling that only to pay the printing, not for all the operation. And nobody asked us to do better. But Bulletin Signalétique was bought by libraries all over the world. I found, when I traveled, I found Bulletin Signalétique in the most remote libraries, including Taiwan. Where I suppose there are not many people can read French, but still they had Bulletin Signalétique. And
most of the American research libraries take it either as a whole or selected parts.
We had a lot of subscribers at one time, 32,000 subscribers. Well, there were a lot of subscribers of Bulletin Signalétique, but that was not the goal. Mm. The goal was really to serve French research.
So this was just an incidental benefit, in a sense, financial?
Yes, but of course our administrators, they were very happy to fund this money so that they spend less. But that was not the purpose. The purpose was never to be a commercial organization, never. This is why there was no competition, really, with the other centers.
Mm.
We wanted to have cooperation to do better our work. That's all, not to compete.
So essentially to reach the French scientists,
yes,
and
yeah,
researchers. Yeah. Because I think that's interesting, because my sense is that INIST has a rather different focus.
No, but it was not the purpose. It was not the purpose. The purpose was to become a European center, in fact. If you see, I brought something interesting that if we have time we can have it. It's all the goal was la confirmation du transfert à Nancy, la nomination d'un chef de projet, conseil de projet, voilà, la préparation de l'organigramme du futur institut, afin que celui-ci puisse répondre aux impératifs d'innovation, de productivité et de commercialisation, tout en évoluant avec les techniques nouvelles.
So this is, in a sense, the new bit, the commercialization.
This commercialization is new, and this is why we thought to la création d'une filiale de commercialisation, so that we could better sell what we were doing. Better sell.
Okay.
You know, the goal was la création de l'INIST en vue de constituer un pôle national de production et de diffusion de l'information scientifique et technique spécialisée à l'intention de la recherche et des entreprises.
And that's new too, isn't it? The
entreprises. Critical science for engineers. Informatique documentaire, l'outil indispensable au fonctionnement de tout centre de documentation moderne.
So those are the organizations within France that are cooperating with
INIST. Yes, organizations. Mm. This is a cooperation with Bibliothèque de France. This is a beginning of research.
Bibliométrie,
infométrie. First steps to the numerisation.
Numerical databases?
Numerisation is digitalization.
Yeah.
L'INIST et l'informatique documentaire, quels enjeux? These are, who are your interlocuteurs? Who are the people who mm-hmm. want to talk with the names of the responsible? This is special for IFLA. It was the year of IFLA. It was INIST yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It was even done bilingual. This is the first automation. This is 91, automation of document primaire, archivage numérique. That was that long. But maybe these are all the centers with whom cooperate.
So these are the international centers?
International centers. Centre scientifique, la construction en Belgique, bâtiment, Fach Information Centrum, Karlsruhe, with the Russians, with Vinici, Gesellschaft für Mathematik, from the Social Wissenschaft, Nabon, SWEDOC, EGO. Conseil National de la Recherche, Königlich Bibliothek, Japinfo. We had a very close relation.
When you say you have a close relationship with these organizations, what does that actually involve?
Oh, we have been working together, exchanging information, exchanging journals, exchanging abstracts with the Russians. With the Japanese, they had their own offices in our offices, and we had a center in Japan, in JIX.
Okay,
this is the last I did.
Yeah.
It was a kind of follow-up of the GRST, but it was in the ministry of... this ministry have changed very often. It was Ministère de la Recherche, and then Ministère de l'Éducation et de la Recherche, and we were separated. But BNIST was created when Jacques Michel, he was cultural attaché or scientific attaché, I'm sure I remember, in Washington. When he came back, for reasons I don't know really, they have created the Bureau National de l'Information Scientifique et Technique. Their goal was like the GRST, to be a kind of hat for all the information activities in France. And they were organizing. I remember, I don't remember many meetings in BNIST, but we, for example, we were working with BNIST on how to participate into European databases all together. For example, was a database in metallurgy called SDIM, and we were working with BNIST to see how France could participate in this database in Europe, European database. And then Jacques Michel went to The Hague. He is one of the directors of information in patent offices in the European Patent Office. Yeah. Maybe now he retired, I don't know, because I don't follow that. But he was one important person. But then BNIST was dissolved, and he was replaced by MIDIST. And MIDIST, but the, MIDIST is a mission interministerial. But their goal was always the same. INIST and CDST, etc., were always officially apart, but really not, because we were always so big. And the BNIST and MIDIST, there were four or five people.
Where did you get your money from? I mean, as an organization?
CNRS.
And so, and
CNRS from the Ministry of Research.
Okay.
We were 100% budget CNRS.
So these organizations that we're talking about are really, as you say, just...
coordinating bodies.
Have a broad coordinating function.
Yes, yeah. Okay. They had only coordinating function. An important coordinating function, but coordinating.
But little impact, I gather, on what you folks were doing.
Let's say so. Let's say that, not officially. But it's always, we were so big that we could do whatever we wanted anyway. And also because the CNRS said, look, we are CNRS and we do what we want. And you?
It seems it was a major re-evaluation of what was going on in CDST in 1974 or thereabouts. The comment was passage d'une publication traditionnelle organisée en fonction des disciplines universitaires et à des publications spécialisées adaptées à les clientèle particulière.
Yeah, but this was always a part of putting together, splitting, specializing. And in 1974 we have produced specialized publication, more targeted to professions.
Okay. The comment was that this was the evolution of the concept of marketing. This is from an article by Caroline
Vigan Sacoun. This was my librarian in East.
Yeah.
And she was a lady who moved the collections.
And she wrote an article, a brief article about the history of it.
Yeah.
And so this was, I'm interested in this notion of moving to a much more commercial, market-oriented service.
Because, you know, the researchers, at the beginning, Bulletin Signalétique was not really sold to industry. And more, the industries in France, they realize the role of information. because at the beginning they didn't consider information for the activity as very important. And then more and more they started creating documentation centers like Groupe Poulenc, like big companies, and hiring documentalists. And that was very funny because most of our people were moving to these places. And at the beginning we considered that like a disaster, but at the end we were very happy because that was our best promotion.
Yes, spreading the word.
And of course these people, they wanted to have more specialized. For example, we had contract that was done for money with a big cardiological and a drug company that working in cardiology. We were doing a special bulletin for them on cardiology, on specialized questions on cardiology related to their drugs. And we were selling them 300, 400 copies, and they distributed it free of charge to the doctors in the hospital. This type of operation, this type of operation. But the CDST, we always tried, and also, you know, that corresponded period after the resolution of the Conseil des ministres de la Communauté Européenne in 71 to try to target more and to help more the European industry. And this is a part of Euronet, and this is what we found at that time. And this was possible because the Pascal database was at that time stable. Mm. And then it was nothing to extract from the database specialized. Then we had specialized in different specialized fields. We had special bulletins in electric.
So
there were the kind of profiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had profiles printed and profiles on paper.
When the online services came began, that must have affected some of this work, because presumably it would then be possible for these companies to search Pascal and so on.
At the beginning, we only did the searches ourselves. We have a large department of producing profiles and researchers for the users. We were not online. We didn't want to provide online services ourselves. That was clear. Then we have given our databases to host computers to distribute online. But it has affected at a moment where we didn't want to do bulletins in elliptic anymore. We tried to replace bulletins in elliptic because the cost of printing was rising, the cost of paper was rising, the cost of printing was rising. And that was a period when we tried to tell people, look, we're going to provide you with profiles, group profiles, and we had some group profiles and we had some personalized profiles, and we were selling that to our users.
When did you stop publishing bulletins in elliptic as a periodical set? I should know that, and I'm not sure of the...
I don't remember. After I left CDST, I don't remember.
Yeah, not to worry, I can easily find that out.
You can find that, I really don't remember. Mm. 158.
Yeah. And it had been planned?
In Vienna.
Planned for a number of years and then it was produced. And Euronet Diane was... began, the discussions about it began in the early 70s too, I think.
It began after the resolution of the Council of Ministers in 71 to create the European network. It started with, there was a committee International pour la Documentation Scientifique et Technique, CIDST. And we had a meeting almost every week of this committee. I was one of the French representatives. Jacques Michel was the other one. First it was Delorme, who was Jacques Delorme, and then Jacques Michel. And we tried to prepare a European information network. And then there were a lot of groups in agriculture, in medicine, in metallurgy, with Georges Anderlin.
Yes.
He was the director. of that, and I still see him because he lives